make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we're going to empower you. That's what we like to do. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. And we're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about bankruptcy happening to more and more Americans based on healthcare. Yep. Also, we're going to be talking about how we can protect ourselves from that happening. And we're going to talk about dry eye conditions and some other things. We'll see how much time we have as the hour rolls. And we do have a crack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform and lifting them up in prayer and this nation up in prayer. And I hope you're seeking the Lord's face and hitting the knees, you know, because, high in the Lord, that's the way. And today's devotional is from Isaiah 50 and 55, as well as John 19 and Matthew 27. It goes like this. Come to me and listen. Attune yourself to my voice and receive my richest blessings. Marvel at the wonder of communing with the creator of the universe while sitting in the comfort of your home. Kings who reign on the earth tend to make themselves inaccessible. Ordinary people must never gain an audience with them. Even dignitaries have to plow through protocol in order to speak with royalty. Though I am the king of the universe, I am totally accessible to you. I am with you whenever you are and wherever you are. Nothing can separate you from my presence. So when I cried out from the cross, it was finished. The curtain, the temple was torn. This is the opening way for you to meet me face to face with no need for protocol or for priests. I, the King of Kings, am your constant companion. Well, amen to that. And I hope you're seeking the Lord's face. Mind the time, it grows short. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up on the quacker, they say there's this pill that's going to replace alcohol for middle-class drinkers is an epidemic, apparently. So they've developed this pill to help people not have the craving to drink alcohol. And so scientists at Hall Research, they said they've been testing this pill. Could hit the market by 2020. It was created by a company called Invador, and what it does is it also suppresses the buzz that you get when you have an alcoholic drink. So they hope to have it on the market to control the alcohol epidemic and dependency. So let's see, moving along in the quack report. Kind of reminds me of that pill Eli Lilly came out with, 10 years ago, that alcoholics could drink and not get the negative effects of alcohol. So, you know, it's like, you know, bartender, this one's on Eli Lilly kind of thing. Let's look at the next quack report. People spend more time sitting on the toilet each week rather than exercising, according to a study out of the UK. They say adults actually have an average of 3 hours and 9 minutes every week they spend, I guess, using the potty, but they only spend 90 minutes being active each week. So 3 hours, 9 minutes versus 90 minutes. So 26% of the people exercise about 30 minutes or less each week, according to a survey. So Stephen Ward, chief executive of UK Active, said humans are made to move, but modern living has stripped physical activity out of their lives to the point where we pass more time spending, you know, sitting on the couch or on our phones and computers. Majority of the health concern by the health experts is there's a lack of this exercise, and along with poor diet, tendency to, you know, play on smartphones and stuff like that, driving up this imbalance, they say. All right, moving along in the quacker. Vaccines are in the news. Judy Michalowicz, PhD research scientist, she also co-authored a recent study, groundbreaking study, and also she wrote a book called Plague. She says she's been studying autoimmune diseases and neuroautoimmune diseases and cancer, other conditions caused by a lot of inflammation. So she's been studying actually the rotavirus, you know, common cold stuff as well. So she wrote this book, and a recent article, she explains that one of the primary sources of all these debilitating retroviruses are because they're in vaccines. They're virtually in all vaccines, and they are contaminating people. At least she says most Americans have a mouse rotavirus already in their bodies because of the vaccines. Interesting stuff. Last but not least in the quack report, pigs, they're going to be they're looking at breeding pigs in what they call biofactories and then kill them in order to harvest organs to transplant into humans. Those are the plans that they're making at this time. Fewer humans are donating organs. Some of them aren't in good condition due to abuse for alcohol, smoking, and street drugs. So modern medicine is looking at other alternatives for acceptable organs to transplant because it's a business. Got to have that money. And that wraps the quack report. Alrighty, thank you, Frank. All right, let's talk about how healthcare is kind of bankrupting a lot of people out there because it's bankruptcy in a blink, practically. No one wants to encounter bankruptcy. However, the rate of people that are filing for bankruptcy in the U.S. due to medical bills is pretty high. So out of the 800,000 Americans that filed for bankruptcy in 2016, 81% of them, that's over 600,000, were not business bankruptcies, but due to personal medical bills. So that is roughly 3 out of 5 Americans are struggling with healthcare payments. So the politicians, you know, are pushing for total socialized healthcare, like in the UK and some other nations. And they declare that there's really no medical bankruptcy in those nations with a one-payer government-run system. Well, nations with a one-payer government healthcare come with a 20% individual tax. That's how they do it. And is it really true that people with socialized healthcare don't have medical expenses? And they don't have the risk of medical bankruptcy? Here's a question. What do you think, Frank? Do you think there's medical bankruptcy like in the UK and other places with socialized healthcare? Like Canada? What about Canada? Well, let's take a look at the big picture and see how we can better protect ourselves. Why Frank thinks about that. Hey, Frank. All right, let me read you a quote from Christina LaMontagne, Vice President of Health at NerdWallet. She says, in our study, the burden of healthcare costs is causing widespread indebtedness. Medical bills can completely overwhelm a family when an illness strikes. An estimated 25 million people ration their medications in an effort to control their medical costs, but can cause an emergency trip to the hospital. And many question the Universal Healthcare Affordable Care Act if it can improve on this risk. Even with insurance coverage, she says the estimated 10 million Americans will have medical bills they cannot pay. End of quote. Okay, Frank weighs in. He says, the question was socialized healthcare in countries, do they still have medical bills, and are they at the risk of medical bankruptcy? He says, they are made too poor to go bankrupt. That's his input. Thank you, Frank. Well, we'll get to the nitty-gritty in just a minute, because, you know, really, your healthcare is not a total shield. As the government healthcare is being promoted and it's being sold globally as the answer to high-cost healthcare, well, we find that that's just not the case, especially in countries already with government run one-payer systems. So we are told that private health insurance, or any health insurance, is really not 100% coverage. And that would also apply to the government-provided health insurance. It really does. So how's it going in Canada? Let's go check our friends just north of us in Canada. Let's take a look at our neighbor to the north, Canada, who already has the government-run healthcare system there. So in Canada, private insurance is illegal regarding any treatments that are covered by the one-payer system. So citizens in Canada are at the mercy of the government-run plan. So when the government absorbs healthcare costs, is there a difference in bankruptcy? So when you got a government that says, hey, one-payer system, we got it covered, do they wipe out the risk of medical bankruptcy? Is that what they're saying? Well, when the government absorbs healthcare costs, the Fraser Institute answered the question, especially, well, the Fraser Institute's really a Canadian think tank. They're non-affiliated with anybody. And they found that bankruptcy rates are the same in Canada as in the United States. And they reported that Canadians can go bankrupt because of, get this, medical expenses. Yep, this is what they state in their report of 2014. They said approximately 15% of Canadian seniors 55 years of age or older cited medical reasons for filing for bankruptcy. Okay. Well, you know, global medical bankruptcy, I guess, is what they're shooting for. According to the World Health Organization, Canada was not the only country that had its citizens filing for bankruptcy due to healthcare costs under a single-payer system. In the UK, indebtedness due to healthcare costs is about 5% of their households, and that was in 2002. And in Germany, medical care indebtedness was associated with psychological healthcare costs and other sickness, and it ranked fourth in their bankruptcy filings. Wow. Well, let's nail down the definition here. Let's just nail it down. For a large part of the world, you know, politicians and the courts, they kind of struggle with the definition of, quote, medical debt. They do. They like to play. They like to play with that term. Frank says, sweat, taxed to death, and made bankrupt. Ooh, Canada. Yeah, I know, Frank. It's just like this fantasy that's being, you know, hyped up and promoted, and people just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Well, for a large part of the world, politicians and the courts struggle with the definition of medical debt. In 2009, the United States passed the Medical Bankruptcy Fairness Act, in which it defines medical debt as, I'll read it for quote, any debt incurred directly or indirectly as a result of the diagnosis, cure, medication, treatment, or prevention of injury, deformity, or disease, or for the purposes of affecting any structure of function of the body. End of quote. So that is their definition of medical debt. Now, the Administrative Office of the U.S. Court says this: a bankruptcy case is classified as a non-business or non-business based on the nature of debt. So individual debtors filing for bankruptcy receive a discharge in more than 99% of the cases, end of quote. So what they're telling you is people that are filing for medical bankruptcy, these aren't businesses. These are individuals. However, we all know how these skilled in the law, how these people can tangle up all the words to mean just about anything they want. So in the United States, there are many ways to file for debt relief, and Chapter 7 is the most popular because supposedly it requires no repayment of the debt. However, there are non-exempt assets to Chapter 7 rule that those are filing may lose in liquidation to pay back creditors, like, you know, property under a lien, mortgage, or maybe a installment car loan. Those things, you know, they got a lien on them, so hey, those creditors are going to get their money. So, however, there are exemption laws to the exemption laws. It is crazy. So most people, yeah, they're going to need a lawyer to figure it all out. Well, let's get a reality check real quick. Let's check in. We know that there are additional costs to health care insurance other than your monthly premium. There's the deductibles, the copays, the limitations to the coverage that patients are required to pay. So the average household income in the U.S. is about $50,000. So if there is a $5,000 to $10,000 bill for medical expenses not covered, well, the average American's going to struggle. Hey, Frank, I want to see if he's available. Frank, you've got a minute. What practical everyday expense that people go to the hospital for treatment falls into that $5,000 to $10,000 range that can put them under the bus really in a skinny minute? Gonna take a guess what that treatment is? See what he thinks. Well, let me read you this quote from Christina Montague, VP of Health at NerdWallet. She said, "The data shows that millions of people with year-round full health care coverage are still overwhelmed by medical bills. The Affordable Care Act," she says, "will not completely resolve this problem," end of quote. Oh, Frank weighs in with depression. No. It's having a baby. Having a baby is right up there in the $10,000 range now. So people that are not, you know, planning a family and it just sort of happens, how are they going to afford that? Well, let me read you another quote by Christina. She says, "Many Americans think of bankruptcy as stemming from unpaid credit card debt or a foreclosure on a mortgage. However," she says, "the root of the cause of those troubles in many instances is because of medical bills. The facts show that 11 million people have taken out additional credit card debt to cover their mounting medical bills. Another 15 million will deplete their savings accounts and be unable to pay for normal costs of living like rent, food, and utilities," end of quote. Okay, so Frank says, so after the baby, they can then be treated for depression. Very cute, Frank. Yep. Well, let's talk about this snowball, because the high cost of medical care is a snowball from hell. So, we're in a, you know, when did it start? You know, Frank helped me see when that started. I thank you, Frank. It started in 1973, when Nixon sold the American people out for a deal with Kaiser Permanente by signing the HMO Act. So before the HMO Act, most people could afford to pay their doctor for treatment because healthcare was a nonprofit. The costs were reasonable. There were no clauses like pre-existing conditions. So the HMO Act changed the healthcare landscape and produced a system focused on making money by exploiting patients. So the HMO Act allowed for this exploitation, and it decriminalized it. Gray areas for insurance fraud were also the result. So politicians, you know, they like to turn the heat up slowly so you don't notice it right away. And they also like to create the problem and sell you their solution, a government-run healthcare system, so to lower your healthcare costs. So they raise the cost to sell you a solution that's not going to lower the costs. So they have created this problem, and yes, it has been in the making for over 40 years. This is a guarded plan. Your Obamacare, if you want to call it that, Affordable Care Act, your one-payer government healthcare system, they're inching and they're moving into it. It's a guarded plan. You won't see politicians remove this plan, as you're seeing right now on Capitol Hill. They're not going to remove. They're going to dance around. They're going to play leapfrog. They're going to make a dog and pony show out of it. But they're not going to remove this plan because it's their golden poker chip. A third of the wealth is in health care in the United States, and they want it. Well, let's look at the list. So let's just get a little better picture here. Here's a list of the most expensive health conditions to treat in the U.S. that will put most Americans at the risk of bankruptcy. There's sepsis, blood poisoning, very expensive. Cardiovascular disease and stroke. Renal or kidney disease. Pulmonary lung disease or asthma. As well as diabetes and obesity, alcoholism, central nervous system diseases, arthritis, and childbirth at the hospital. Average cost is $8,000 to $10,000. So let's talk about an organ transplant. So if you're not going to take so good care of yourself, then the cost of an organ transplant really has been on the rise. And this is a special industry, and they're really searching for the options. Like I mentioned earlier, fewer people are donating organs. There have been fewer fatal car crashes, and the access to healthy transplantable organs is kind of dwindling. So science is looking, you know, to the animal kingdom to transplant organs or manufacturing synthetic ones in the lab to transplant. So in the event that you receive an organ, here are the costs associated with the transplant. Now, these costs include the before and after surgery stay at the hospital, but it does not include the drugs that you're going to need for immune system suppression afterwards. So here it is. If you had to have an intestinal transplant, an intestine transplant, it's $1,121,800. If you want a heart transplant, $787,700. Bone marrow transplant is $676,800. But if you need allogenic factor with that, it's an additional $300,000. Lung, let's say you need two lungs, $657,800. But if you just need one lung, it's $450,000. Liver, $523,000. Pancreas, $275,000. Kidney, $259,000. And by the way, kidney is the most organ transplant in demand right now because of diabetes. A tracheotomy transplant, $205,000. And a retina eye transplant, $153,000. All right, so most people want health insurance for the catastrophic event or to help with medical bills for their current disease. And once again, the politicians with the Affordable Care Act have modified the healthcare landscape, and now they've made paying for healthcare even more burdensome. So the cost of healthcare treatments to patients have remained high, with the attempt to spread that cost care more evenly among the people. So we can never expect to be truly healthy with a system that uses toxins as medicine. Think about it. So we have answers really right under our noses if we want to make a change and become healthy. So our Creator didn't expect us to rely on drug companies for health, and He expects us to do our part to protect our body that He gave us. So toxic drugs actually break down and poison the human body. Long-term use of drug leads to failure. Regarding most internal medicine issues, this is why people are led down the drug road only to wind up at the organ transplant station. So the healthcare system, as you know it, is a business making money at the expense of patients. Now, I personally use medicinal herbs, to strengthen the body and work with the system God created. So herbs offer these complex compounds no drug company really can duplicate. And they wouldn't want to because then they couldn't patent it. But for herbs to cleanse away your toxins and to strengthen things like your heart, your lungs, your brain, liver, digestive system, and a whole lot more, you want to check that out. Call Apothecary Herbs, and they'll send you their free product catalog. That number is, because you're going to be amazing how powerful you'll be when you strengthen, when you find out super nutrition and herbs strengthen the body and help it regenerate and heal itself. It is an amazing thing. The number is 866-229-3663. That's Apothecary Herbs. 866-229-3663. Request their free product catalog. If you're outside the U.S., the number is 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Or visit them at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Yep. They'll educate you on how to do it. How to do it and get it done. And, you know, praise the Lord for his medicinal herbs, because herbs are here for the service of man and healing in the nations, and God can't lie. I'm counting on that. I am counting on that promise, and you can too. All right, so if you're on the website, sign up for the newsletters. A lot of you have lately, so that's good. They're free, and you'll get health information each and every week in your email. So sign up there at thepowerherbs.com. Just click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. Get a free catalog too. And I can see by the time. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, more empowering information. We're going to talk about your eyes, if you got dry eye out there. We got things. We got solutions. We'll be right back.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew. Oh, someone warm like you would make my dream come true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and we're going to be talking about eyes. From time to time, I get calls about, you know, dry eye, and we've talked about it a little bit on the show, and so thought we maybe recap some of that information just in case somebody out there says, you know, we're moving into weather that's going to be drier. We're moving into the fall-winter months, and typically the air gets drier. So in the United States, there are like 20 million people that complain of having a symptom called dry eye. And 40%, which have this condition, have it on a regular basis. Women, particularly over the age of 45, are susceptible to the condition. And especially if they are menopausal, they had a higher risk of getting dry eye. And it also has been recently discovered that the population's veterans coming back from war, they're at a higher risk of having dry eye as well. So if you have dry eye syndrome now, medical science is stating you have a 76% risk of the condition is going to get worse over time. So why are so many people having this problem? And is it a new condition of the modern world? Well, dry eye syndrome started to gain medical attention in the 1980s. Research really didn't start on the condition till the 1990s. A lot of physicians feel that dry eye syndrome is a psychosomatic disease. So in 1991, there was a study, and doctors listed dry eye syndrome increasing in incidence along with cataracts and diabetes. So dry eye syndrome prevents the wearing of cataracts. People can't wear them very well. It affects the eye, especially if you're going to have surgery. So it increases your risk of infection if you're going to have surgery on your eye. So we're going to take a closer look at dry eye, see what we can do about that. First, let's look at the symptoms. According to Medscape.com, there's as many as 12 different symptoms that can be associated with the dry eye syndrome called DES. So it's called keratoconjunctivitis sicca, which is Latin for dry and inflamed eyes. So eye physicians will grade each of the symptoms on a scale of 1 to 4. And the symptoms are made worse when there is smoke in the air, or if there's low humidity, or if it's a windy day, or dry heat in the winter, let's say from a fireplace or other heating elements. Ceiling fans are your worst enemy, especially if you have them on in the summer months. They'll dry out your eyes. Because sometimes, you know, when you're asleep, you don't completely close your eyelids. Did you know that? And you can get those really, really dry. That layer, that hour later, can get really dry. So people with dry often, you know, state their condition is worse towards the end of the day. Their eyelids can feel very heavy, and it's hard to keep their eyes open. So if a person with dry eye can have even floaters, and they can get worse in their visual field, very common, especially with those with nearsightedness as they get older. So dry eye can also cause blurry vision. So it seems that, you know, dry eye syndrome can also include eyes that tear up too much, and that's strange. Yeah, you can have that, you know, drippy eye going around. So this could lead to a condition they call epiphora, which means the eye is not draining significantly. It's not efficiently draining. So if it's not corrected, there could develop serious cornea surface disease. And the symptoms of dry eye syndrome basically are your eyes feel dry. You feel like you may have a foreign body there, a sensation you got something in your eye, a gritty feeling, let's say, blood in the eye, or eye irritation when the eyes look really red, mucus discharge and itching, watery eyes or excessive tearing, and sensitivity to light and even blurry vision. So if that's you, you may want to get that looked at. So what is causing more people to have dry eyes? Well, the condition can involve what they call the meibomian gland that is causing the eyelids to become red. Also, the mucosa membrane that covers the front of the eye and lines the inside of the eyelids provide the lubricant, the mucus, and the tears, and it can get reduced. And if the gland is not functioning well, it causes conjunctivitis, and the gland also provides a lot of immune system support or immune surveillance to the eye, help prevent infections and microbes from getting in there. So medicines that cause dry eye, if you've been on some that are giving you a side effect, according to the health experts, certain prescribed medicines can put more patients at a risk of developing dry eye, a secondary disease from their medicines. So if you're on antihistamines, beta blockers, contraceptives, whether it's oral or topical, glaucoma medications, oral or topical, antidepressants, diuretics, and hormone medications can all give you the dry eye symptom. Medical conditions also that increase your risk of dry eye. So patients that experience certain medical conditions can be at a higher risk of the dry eye, such as if you have rheumatoid arthritis, thyroid conditions, lymphatic disease, post-traumatic stress disorder and depression, as well as lupus and rosacea, which is also known as adult acne. What are some of the other irritants? Well, people with dry eye often do a lot of computer work, and they really don't blink their eyes often enough. It is recommended to, you know, by the eye specialist to get some glasses that have a special blue coating to the eyewear. And now even computer monitors now offer that. When you set up your monitor, it'll ask you if you want that anti-glare blue sheen to your screen that cuts down on the glare and it cuts down on the stress on your eye. So, or you can just get the blue coating glass eyewear. Now, other things that can contribute to your dry eye are excessive alcohol consumption, caffeine, contact lenses, hormonal drugs, either for menopause or hormone replacement medications, high altitudes, as well as vitamin A deficiency, eye drops to remove the redness, you know, like the Visine, as well as LASIK eye surgery, and droopy eyelids, as well as eye trauma, and also bulging eyes, often from a thyroid condition. So you want to try to avoid dry and drafty environments, fireplaces, smoke, dust. Avoid rubbing the eyes. Avoid cortisone-type products and prescription ointments for skin conditions and inflammation around. Don't apply those around the eyes, as this can increase your risk of glaucoma and dry eye syndrome. And some sundry and cosmetic makeup products can also dry your eyes and make it worse. So avoid also running those sealing ceiling fans for prolonged exposure to direct blowing of air conditioning vents. You know, if you're driving in your car, you know, angle that vent away from you. Well, let's look at the medical treatments. You know, medicine's got a bunch. Often patients, you know, say, hey, doc, I got some dry eye. And they'll start patients out with maybe some over-the-counter wetting drops sold everywhere, drugstores. So if you're going to use these drops, make sure the product has the fewest preservatives in them. There's a product out there called Soothe by Bausch & Lomb that doesn't have a bunch of that stuff in it, and you might want to check that out. The next step is, eye doctors will maybe prescribe a prescription eye drop to reduce the inflammation, but not cause, won't address the cause of the inflammation, so it's just symptom management. So there are certain medical conditions which could prohibit patients from using these types of drugs, like if you're suffering from an eye infection or if you have herpes of the eye, you can't use them. One product for eye inflammation that is prescribed is Restasis. You've seen the ads for this, right? It's been on the market since 2003, and the product can take several months to show any signs of benefit, and it also can cause patients to discontinue the use because of the side effects, and the cost of the treatment is about $325. So side effects from Restasis would be burning and stinging, itching, redness, blurry vision, excessive eye drainage, feeling that there's a foreign body in your eye, allergic reactions where you can get a rash, dizziness, swelling of the face, a tongue or throat, severe itching, difficulty breathing, eye pain and discomfort, injury to the eye, even immediate, you want to seek a medical attention if you have any of those things going on. Also dysfunction of what they call the meibomian gland. So, and if you've seen the ads for Restasis, I have. They just say common side effects are, or the most common side effects are, and they just give you the most common, but not the serious ones. Have you noticed that? Well, the research overview of Restasis showed that it helped about 72% of the time with regards to dry eye symptoms, but when compared to supplying the body with, let's say, some fish oil, the fish oil worked 100% of the time. So this is a patient study, and they were taking fish oil internally, okay? Patients that used Restasis reported that after using it, they developed dysfunction of the meibomian gland, and after stopping the product, their condition improved. Patients also stated that while they took Restasis, they had to increase their daily use of wetting drops to 20 drops per day, 10 times the normal dose. So when they stopped using the drug, they didn't need to use the wetting drops as much. Now, some doctors speculate that it could be that the castor oil in the Restasis that's causing some side effects and some allergic reactions. So Restasis also contains cyclosporine, which also suppresses immune system function. But they don't tell you that at the doctor's office. All right, so what are the side effects of Xylitol? Or Xiidra is another term that they describe this drug. It's the newest drug prescribed for dry eye. It costs $400 a month. Here are the side effects for Xiidra. It changes in vision, eye irritation and discomfort, blurred vision, red eyes and red-colored eyelids, change in taste or loss of taste, coughing, itching eyes, excessive drainage from the eyes or watery eyes, fever, headache, pain and tenderness around the eyes and cheekbones, stuffy or runny nose, tightness in the chest, and difficulty breathing. So Xiidra is being compared to Restasis and promoted as having fewer side effects and works in just 2 weeks. The FDA just approved it for sale, and it's advertised on TV and everywhere you go. So let's see what we could do. Are there any things that we can do to help our eyes? Well, you want to protect your eyes from the sun's rays. Lower your computer screen where your gaze is directed downward to minimize discomfort. Hydrate your system with more water. And if you're using eye drops to hydrate the eyes, get the drops without all those chemical preservatives in them. One with a higher concentration of, let's say, plant glycerin and propylene glycol, which is maybe 0.6% rather than the 2% versions. Also, colloidal silver may work as well. Some drops of that are helpful to add, especially if you think there's an infection. Add more omega-3 fatty acids into your diet. Remember to blink more often, especially when you're doing computer work. Now, according to the Journal of Clinical Interventions and Aging, in 2015, they said omega-3 fatty acids, like the fish oil, had significant results to improving dry eye. Another study in 2003 out of the Journal of Clinical Nutrition said that women who ate 5 or more 4-ounce servings of tuna per week had a 33 to 60% reduction in their dry eye symptoms. Hot compresses over the eyes a few times a day also stimulate those glands to make more of the eye lubricant to help hydrate those three levels of tear film that you have on the outer layer of your eye. What about some eye nutrients, aside from the fish and the omega-3s? Well, some eye experts feel that removing the gluten from your diet helps, and as well as getting more vitamin A-rich foods going. So if you're using supplements, you want to use a whole food type of supplement, not a synthetic oil or an isolated nutrient. You want to eat more foods with the omega-3 fatty acids, you know, like olive oil, coconut oil, sardines, salmon. This helps reduce the inflammation to the eye. So you're getting at the cause of the dry eye. So if you tend to not drink enough water to hydrate your system, try maybe coconut water. Some people just don't like to drink water. Put some lemon in it, or maybe drink coconut water. So the potassium in your coconut water will assist your eyes. Also, Celtic sea salt also has those essential minerals that help the body retain the right proper fluids. So make sure you're using a sun-dried Celtic sea salt. And herbs which reduce general inflammation are also going to be helpful, like bayberry bark, willow bark, meadow sweet. These herbs assist also the glands of the eyes to help you produce more lubricant, golden seal, and mullein. So if there's infection, you can add a little echinacea, eyebright, along with your golden seal as a combination. For inflammation of the eye, I like to add eyebright herb. So if thyroid's a concern there, a little black walnut is my choice, maybe with some Siberian ginseng to help balance out the thyroid. If menopause is the issue, there's 6 female herbs that help balance the endocrine systems for that smooth transition through menopause. So if you're on medications and you want to get off those that are causing the dry eye, then you might want to check out the female herbs. So Frank writes to me here on the screen, are you concerned with the various pollutants in the ocean when it comes to eating fish? Well, yeah, I try not to get fish from the Pacific. So, yeah, I'm trying not to do that. It's hard, though. If you look at anything frozen, it's all from the West Coast. It's kind of hard to get, you know, Atlantic. You have to really search for that. Well, if you're looking for some assistance with some of the herbs we just mentioned for the dry eye, you might want to contact the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have the Herbal Eye Wash, which is very helpful, has your eye bright and golden seal in it. They do have the pain anti-inflammatory formula if you don't want to take any over-the-counter stuff or drugs. Black walnut for the thyroid, they have the female formulas for balancing the endocrine system. They're also there, as well as the Celtic sea salt and mullein for soothing glands of the eye. So you got a bunch of choices there. And check them out at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless because it's tools that will empower you. Yeah, when you get at the cause, the symptoms go away, and then guess what? No more dry eye, no more problemo, because you're getting at the cause. You're not just constantly medicating a symptom. That's got to be annoying. Aren't people frustrated with that? I know I'd be frustrated with that. If I had to take a pill every day just to function, I know some people have to, but, you know, there are herbs out there that strengthen your systems, right? There's a book by Shane Allison that you need to get. It's called Over the Counter Natural Cures. He's been on the show here before. And the reason I mention his book is he has such a great way of plainly explaining in understandable terms what these certain drugs you're taking are doing on a metabolic level to you. Because he's a chemist, used to work for the drug companies, but now he's, you know, teaching people the natural way, which I have to applaud him for. So you probably pick his book up just about anywhere or check it out of the library. But let's say if you're on diabetic or heart drugs or sleeping drugs, any of these things, he explains exactly what it's doing because, you know, he helped design them. That's what he was paid to do. So he knows exactly what they do to you and your body. So if you feel like you're, you know, taking drugs and you feel like you're a zombie or you feel like you're falling apart, Shane Ellison's book's going to say exactly what's going on there. All right. We got a few minutes, so we're going to be talking about some more nutrition. We got to some of it the other day. Let's talk about nutrition because, you know, when you look at your food groups, your medicinal herbs, you've got a lot of chemistry going on there. You've got a lot of powerful nutritional elements. You've got minerals and enzymes and amino acids, vitamins, and it's all perfectly balanced. And if you want to isolate and cut it up and dissect it, then you miss out on that perfect balance. And this is why a lot of supplements may not be working quite right for you. It's because they're not whole food. Here's a quote from Dr. Joseph Mercola. He says, "Not only are isolated nutrients treated like drugs or other chemicals by your body, like drugs, they can create problems for you too. Nature does not produce any nutrient in an isolated form. The nutrients and foods are blended together in a specific way and work best in that format. For an isolated nutrient to work properly in the body, it needs all the other parts that are naturally present in that food too." So this is why a lot of people say, you know, I started taking this supplement. I feel really great. Went back and got another bottle. And all of a sudden, it's not working like it did. How come? Well, because you depleted the nutritional stores that the body was having to take to fit the missing pieces to make that supplement work. And now you've depleted yourself rather than fortified yourself. And people just don't get it. A lot of times, they just don't get it. Now, aside from developing, let's say, if you know, because you're coming up to cold and flu season, what do people do? They automatically just drop a lot of vitamin C tablets down their throat. And then what do they get? They get diarrhea because if you're taking ascorbic acid supplements, that's one of the symptoms that you get. And according to the Home Economist, they reported on several studies regarding megadoses of fake vitamin C. That's what they call ascorbic acid. It's because the Journal of Science in 2001 found that inside the human body, this synthetic drug known as ascorbic acid, your vitamin C, can cause genotoxins to form, which can increase your risk of cancer. So it makes sense, since we've been told that, you know, too much acid in the body can give cancer a foothold. So the American Heart Association said in March 2000 that there's a definite link between daily mega doses of ascorbic acid, your fake vitamin C, and the thickening of arteries. So finally, the Journal of Clinical Nutrition in January of 2008 also said, you know, it was reported that if athletes took 100 milligrams of vitamin C, ascorbic acid each day, it reduced their endurance because it was determined that the fake vitamin C interfered with their antioxidant enzymes. So, you know, be careful. And I would say 98% of your vitamin C now is coming from China. So think about the next time you're at the store and you want to get ester vitamin C or whatever that stuff is, you know, that they take and they drop it in a cup and it fizzes and tastes like oranges. And, you know, it's just not the right vitamin C your body's looking for. Now, another action that fake vitamin C offers the body is that it affects good bacteria. It will take away some of the good gut floras. So here's a quote from Dr. McCullough. He says, if the parts are not all there from the start, they are taken from the body's stored supply. So this is why isolated nutrients often work for a little while, and then they seem to stop working. So once your body stores the extra nutrients is used up, the isolated nutrient that you're taking doesn't work as well anymore. Worse yet, a deficiency in these extra nutrients can also be created in your body. So a deficiency, you devitalized rather than fortified. So if you want to find some natural vitamin C, you know, eat some bell peppers or citrus fruits, melons, broccoli, tomatoes, just to name a few. If you need to beef up on your vitamin C, get some of that. Herbs that you might want to use, because they have a complex dose of an organic whole food natural vitamin C, would be horseradish, rose hips, aloe, yellow dock root, red raspberry leaf, barley grass, red clover, lobelia, parsley, and how about hops? Rose hips. Can't forget rose hips is in there, you know, natural form of vitamin C. So if you're looking for vitamin C, if you're going to the powerherbs.com website, their all-in-one tonic has a ton of vitamin C in it, all whole food. Their body food mix also, their heart formula. So you've got some choices there. Their calcium liquid also has natural vitamin C in it, so you can check it out there. Let's look at some imposter vitamins that a lot of people are buying. They don't have those natural complex chemical combinations that you find in natural sources. Now, real vitamin C with its antioxidants will help your body heal wounds faster, keep your mind, clearer. A natural vitamin C does a lot more than just, you know, boost your immune system and help you get over the common cold quickly. Other benefits of C, it protects you from glaucoma, inflammation, periodontal diseases. Also in the summer months, it helps you tolerate heat better. So if you're really melting out there in the summer, maybe take some C, some whole food vitamin C. Also, vitamin C also helps regulate those vasodilating prostaglandins to relieve chest tightness. So if you have congestive artery disease, you know, some whole food vitamin C is going to go a long way for you. And also helps prevent scurvy if you're out there on the high seas. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.